Lord, all your works with joy do surround you because you have first given us everything. So we thank you that you've given us all things, our money, our times, our talents, our families, our homes, warmth in these cold days. All of this is from you, and we thank you for this. Take these gifts and use them for your glory to bless people and help them to know you better. Use us the same way, especially at this time, we pray in your name. Amen. From the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Lord, we thank you for preserving these events in your word. We pray that you would bless and warm and encourage us now as we look at them. Briefly, we pray in your name. Amen. Today's Advent 3. What's Advent 3? Third Sunday in Advent. And the third candle, by the way, this is not pink. This is rose color. Okay? And that's not just because I don't like pink, and I don't actually like pink. It's just not my thing. Praise God, I have three boys. This is rose colored. And the traditional church connects this up with rose-colored, and anyone ever look at the world through rose-colored glasses, you're looking at it in a more happy and joyful sort of a way, aren't you? Well, this is Gaudete Sunday. Huh? What on earth is Gaudete? It sounds better in Latin than just Rejoice Sunday, but it's Rejoice Sunday. Why is it Rejoice Sunday? Well, first of all, traditionally, Advent was a fast season. It was not a festival, happy, joyful season, Christmas time, like the merchants want you to have. Advent was a season where you would fast in preparation of a great holy feast celebrating the mystery and birth of our Lord. And partway through, because they get to the narrative where they would be talking about Jesus being born, and the command comes to the people there, "Rejoice!" Right? "For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be to all the nations and to all the people." And so this is a day for rejoicing, a great joy celebrated. And so we have an off-colored candle because we remember shepherds and we remember what was told to the shepherds the night when love came down at Christmas time to the rough ranching set. And they were the rough ranching set. And this actually is even true down to the present day. That's not superimposing a cowboy in front of sheep. Sheepmen are frequently about as tough and about as hard as cattlemen. Shepherds were hardworking people, and they were not on the inside in civilized society. They weren't settled. They were out with the animals. And they were looking after the animals. And it has even been said, psychologically speaking, if you really are going to have what it takes to be a shepherd, you have to prefer the company of sheep to people. Now, the more I get to know a certain amount of people out there, not yourselves, the more I'm inclined to say, well, let me meet some more sheep. But by and large, shepherds were a different breed, just like cattlemen actually are a different breed and were a different breed. The American rugged, respected, honest, hardworking herdsman is partially a myth. Okay, the honored, respectable cowboy, no. Townspeople generally didn't like when the herdsmen of any kind came into town because they were rough, they were outsiders, they would just been paid, and rough outsiders who just been paid might end up making a ruckus. Shepherds' opinions and views were not admissible in a court as evidence. So they really were on the outside. Now, why on earth then does God announce to these guys who are not on the wrong side of the law, but about on about as low a level besides slaves as you could get, why announce to these guys? Well, you have to also understand, first of all, that we're dealing with prophecies dealing with Bethlehem. These were shepherds in Bethlehem. What do we know about Bethlehem? For more than 1,400 years, shepherding had been the norm in Bethlehem Hill Country before that night. It was a normal sort of a thing for shepherding to be going on since the land was established. David, 1,000 years before that night's first job was looking after sheep, his father's sheep. More than that, 1,800 years before this time, Rachel, the wife of Jacob, had died in childbirth right outside of Bethlehem. Now, why were they right outside of Bethlehem? Were they passing through? Her tomb, by the way, is still there. Were they just passing through? No, they were keeping flocks and herds. That was the life that they had lived. And this is where their wealth was. And so while they were moving around with the flocks and herds, Rachel goes into labor. Rachel gives birth to Benjamin and dies in the process. So shepherding is normal all through there. Now, all of this is to say that it's deeply ingrained in the life and mind of Israel, and in Bethlehem in particular, but in the culture in general. And David himself, as I said, his first job was tending his father's sheep, and it's said of him, right, the people, when they came to make David king, when they were there to make a peace treaty, there's a little bit of a revolution, and so they needed a peace treaty, the northerners came down and said, here we are, your own flesh and blood. We're all Israelites, even though we fought you. Even while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led us out to battle and brought us back. And the Lord also said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. And from David's day and before David's day and after David's day, the idea of the king was not just someone who goes and lives and kicks it back in the palace. The king is God's shepherd for his people. Now, think about this for a moment. The idea of a king as civil servant is not new. Shepherds don't live it up. Shepherds work hard. Shepherds guide hard. Shepherds got a lot going on. And this very, very much was the job description that God had for the ruler of his people. Not to be served, but to serve and look after the people. They quickly inverted that. People usually do. Power corrupts, absolutely. It's fun, but it corrupts, right? This was the case as it was with David. As he'd been king for a while, he ends up rejoicing about how God cares for him and the job of a shepherd. We've looked at this in the past. The job of a shepherd is constant. You know where to get me to where the food is in the arid locations. You know where the water is in the arid locations. You know my psychology and you can get me calmed down to where I will rest. Try getting a 3-year-old to go down for a nap. Easy to do? Not frequently. There's psychology involved. Try getting a sheep to lie down for a rest. They got to know that nothing's going to eat them before they lie down. It's not that they're stubborn, but they're nearsighted and they're on the low end of the food chain. All right? So there's a lot that goes on here. He leads me the right places, even when I go through, okay, CSB doesn't do that right, but even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're there. Now, long before David acknowledged, wow, God, you take such amazing care of me, someone else made that acknowledgement too. Jacob was the first person in the Bible to actually spell out this parallel. Jacob, who actually lost his wife in Bethlehem, that Jacob, as he is old, as he is infirmed and heading on to other things, he blesses his children, he blesses his grandchildren. He blessed Joseph, his son, and he's about to be blessing then Manasseh and Ephraim, Joseph's sons. And he says, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. God has shepherded Jacob. Jacob started off, he had to hot-foot it out of home because his brother was comforting him with the fact that he could kill him. He was on the wrong side of his brother in some major ways. Anyone have a brother you've been on the wrong side of? You've probably never been on that sort of a wrong side with your brother. He had a stick and a travel bag, and that was it. And God blessed him and watched over him and brought him back through all sorts of adventures. And at the end of his life, God has been my shepherd. And he acknowledges this. And he is clear on the fact, having been a shepherd, sheep without their shepherd are lost. And not long after that, their lunch. That's true. Sheep without a shepherd are lost, but a sheep with a good shepherd is a happy sheep. That's just too cute. I couldn't resist, right? That's a smiling sheep. They're cute, it turns out. But the reality is, we know this to be true in our own lives, and God ties into this. You may not have raised sheep, but you can understand enough and you can read enough to understand the idea that God looks after you. And if he were to stop looking after you, it's a scary, cold, nasty world, really. You'd be lost. I would be lost. But with him, my life is good. Now, Bethlehem is going to be where Israel's Messiah would come from, because we have this prophecy going on, and because David was from here, and God had promised David a lasting dynasty. And the Messiah would be greater than David, it turns out, but would be coming from the same place and from the same sorts of origins. And so we read Micah 5:2-4, written about the year 700 B.C., 700 years before Jesus is born there. You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, right? And what will he do? He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And who? His flock, his people, they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach out to the ends of the earth. That's the promise, and that's where this is going. And that's what this is fundamentally about. And so it's incredibly appropriate that, in fact, the birth announcement of the Messiah goes to shepherds in Bethlehem, right? Makes sense. The announcements of the Messiah was given to shepherds in Bethlehem. And you and I know we need a guide and keeper in this strange and difficult life. As I already said, we'd be lost without it. Think about all the different ways you can be lost without it, right? Without him. Do you need to holler help now and again? Things more powerful than you? There are moments where you find yourself seemingly alone with the exception of just maybe God. Yeah, but he's there. Had moments when you're lost. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I don't even know where myself is. And he's there. And he brings us through, and he has brought you through. And so it is really out of personal experience that we can join with David and say, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd and Jesus is my good shepherd. And because he is there, I make it through this life. He came to be our shepherd, and he still tirelessly, lovingly watches over us, protects us, and provides for us. And if that were it, if all we had was the hope of his love and his care in this life, we would still be powerfully blessed people. This is true. I wouldn't want to try and take this life without him. But we have a greater threat. We broke ourselves. We broke the world. We still keep breaking ourselves. We still keep breaking the world. Selfishness is unavoidable. And it doesn't seem that people improve with time. We are not evolving into something better. We are devolving into a downward spiral that's going to probably end in something that looks an awful lot like daytime or evening TV, which is a mess. That's true. Sin kills. And you might laugh at the people on TV, although if you're smart, you'll start turning that stuff off. But we laugh at people whose lives typically, increasingly, what do you see people laughing at? It's humor about dysfunction. Most of those people you probably wouldn't want actually to be like or to be around. That's true. And people laugh at this. Why? Because this is true to broken life. And not only that, but it ends very, very badly if you're on the wrong side of God. Because you are an eternal critter. you will persist beyond this life. And you will answer to God for how you did in this life. And you came into it broken. That's a real problem. Now, in David's day, their greatest king distinguished himself first as a warrior shepherd representing God's people. You know, the whole single combat thing. In this side, representing all of these people, we have one champion, David, who is a shepherd. In this side, representing all these scary people, we have another guy who is Goliath, who's taller than the shepherd, a trained fighting man, a scary trained fighting man. And David comes out, and he was not a little kid. He was a dangerous young man, but he was a dangerous young man in his shepherd outfit. Not because it's a costume party, but because armor doesn't fit him. He's not trained as a fighter. He is trained as a shepherd. He's got his sling, he's got his staff, and with these he's going to go out. And as a warrior shepherd, he absolutely wins. And we don't usually see this picture in the kiddie books, right? Goliath's down, and that's it. Little birdies over his head, and then we just move on to the next story. But my in-laws used to do this as a puppet show, going from church to church to church, and they would end with a shadow puppet of David holding up the head of Goliath. Yeah. They didn't tour to the same churches that often, but us. Joy was not well, I don't know if she was or was not traumatized, but she saw this from the earliest time, okay? But you have to think about this for a moment. How utterly triumphant are you if you behead your enemy with their own weapon? You stormed your enemy, and the representative of Israel once, as a warrior shepherd, totally stormed their enemy on behalf of everyone else, and deliverance was brought. Strangely enough, Jesus, greater than David, stood as our representative, taking on the greatest threat that we would have. And he did it and totally finished off our enemy with the enemy's own weapon, which is death and hate and fear and hurt. And he took all of that upon himself. And by his death, what is it that Paul tells us? When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with his regulations. It was against us, stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them. And how did he triumph? He triumphed over the means of his death. So how thoroughly did Jesus win? Utterly and completely. Just as David stood up and brought deliverance for his people, Jesus stood up and brought deliverance for you and for me. Utterly and completely. And I said before, my life would be really a lot better off. It already is better off just simply for knowing him in this life. But I don't have to fear the end of this life. I've got a hope beyond this life. My past does not matter because I am in Jesus Christ and he died for my sins. And that's your truth as well. That's your reality. What sort of good news did he come bringing? What sort of good news did he come and what sort of good news was announced? Good news that changes everything. And there will come a day when God's shepherd rules the world as God Almighty become a human being, come to be with his people when he comes back. We live in hope. We anticipate in hope. David was born a shepherd's birth in Bethlehem, one far greater than he was born to shepherd and to save us, because God came proclaiming peace on earth, not a sword on earth, but peace on earth. Goodwill to the people down here on whom his favor rests. His favor rests on you. He came for you. Live in that. Live by that. On Gaudete Sunday, rejoice! To you in the city of David, a Savior was born. He's Jesus. Joyfully let that good news shine. Today and beyond, season might be pressing in on you. If it is, you know, it gets crazy from here. There's snow, it's cold, holiday stress might be building up. Each day I encourage you to return to that call. Rejoice. Because you got a Savior. rejoice, your Savior was born. That's what it's about. When you're troubled by this, remember just how totally He has had the victory on your behalf. Live in that. Really, when it's dark, when it's bad. And then take every opportunity to greet people with the good news. Merry Christmas with a joyful heart. A Savior was born for you. Good news to all the people. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You came and You lived and You have shepherded us so lovingly. And like David, You died to be our hope and our peace. Rather, like David, You stood up as our peace. It cost You everything. Lord, we pray that You would help us to live and to walk by faith in that. Lord, I pray if anyone is feeling pressed in or beat down or wrung out over the harshness of this time, or just because they're missing someone or anything like that, be their shepherd. Guide us through, carry us through. And thank You that because of You, there is nothing that we need fear, not the valley of the shadow of death, not the strangeness of the shadow of this life. Keep us in Your great love and help us to rejoice now and always. We pray in Your name. Amen. While shepherds watched their flocks by night, number 35, verses 1 through 4, please stand and sing as you're able.